Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Let's go to God in prayer as we approach the Word of God this morning. Father, we bow before You. We ask that You would help us, God, in the preaching of Your Word. Father, we not only want to preach it, God, but we want to hear it, and God, we want to do it. I thank You, Father, for Jesus Christ, that You've given us a center that is worthy of being at the center. Father, a focus where we can fix our eyes so that we will have everything that we need spiritually, emotionally, physically, Father. You've given us a Savior. You've given us a Lord, God, that is like no other Lord. Father, He's the promised one, as we saw last week. And today, God, as we come, we're going to see even more why Jesus is the reason for the season of life. I thank You for Christ. I pray that every one of us here, Father, would live for Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. How many of y'all would think it would be all right if you were to go home today and out in your field you would find a big old hunk of gold? How many of y'all be all right with that, right? That's exactly what happened to an Englishman. His name was Terry Herbert. In 2009, there at a farm in Staffordshire, with a metal detector, he found 11 pounds of gold with a metal detector in this field. It was from an old army cache that had been probably buried there. No one, and it had been plowed, and it had started to come to the ground, and he noticed a few pieces, and so he went and got a metal detector and started looking and found over $200,000 worth of gold, and it was real gold. I mean, could you imagine that? I mean, the height. I mean, I would probably jump pretty high, just to be honest with you. All right? But imagine with me for a moment. You found gold, and you're so excited. You take it, you go to cash in with it, you put it on the counter with a big smile, and the gold broker looks back at you and says, "Man, where did you get all this pyrite?" You say, "Pyrite, is that the scientific name for gold?" He's like, "No, that's the scientific name for fool's gold." Fool's gold? What? No way. I mean, you can imagine you were up here on cloud nine, and now you're down here all the way the bottom. Here's a picture of fool's gold, and it looks very similar. To the untrained eye, I mean, to me, it would look just like the same. I know some of you are very chemistry-minded, and you know exactly why that's not gold and what happens if air and water and, I don't know, there's some other things that make it turn, but that's iron pyrite is what that's actually called. And it rusts. It's not gold. It's not worthless, but it's certainly not anywhere near how expensive gold is. And you can imagine finding that and thinking that you've got gold, and at the end of the day, you have nothing really. Nothing. Something that's worthless. But friends, I want to say to you this morning that that's exactly what happens time and time again in life. People think that they have gold, but it turns out to be fool's gold. Right? They think they've got something that's going to bring everlasting joy, full joy, true joy. But in the end, it just brings heartache. And we're especially, I mean, around this season here in America with the commercialization of the Christmas holiday, we are especially prone to this sort of thinking, especially children, right? I mean, if you see a child, they, "Oh, I got dad, I got mom, I got to have it," right? It's like if they don't get it, they won't be able to be happy. I was like this, man, how many of y'all got the JCPenney catalog growing up, right? Well, I went at Christmas very systematically. I mean, you know, I'm a very systematic person. Okay, so I get out the JCPenney catalog, and I can't live without that. I got to have that. So I get me a list. And then not only do I write down what I want, I get the catalog call numbers too, because just to make it easy on mom, right? And so I got the catalog numbers, and I've got the dollar amount, and at the end, I add it up, and I would always say something like, "I know this is a lot." you don't have to get me all of it, just most of it, something like that, right? But we so easily duped, especially around this season, just thinking that if we don't have that thing, or if we don't give that thing, then we will not be as joyful or as happy as we could be. But the thing I want us to point us to this morning is this. So here's our big idea this morning. Jesus is the reason for the season of life because he is the only source of true and lasting joy. He's the only source of true and lasting joy. I want to point us to just a few pieces of fool's gold this morning. The Bible exposes them for what they are, and praise God the Bible does. Listen, I don't want to have to find out it's fool's gold on my own. Praise God that God loves us enough to tell us beforehand exactly what it is so that we don't have to learn the hard way. And so we're going to look at the scripture here to help us not to get our hopes raised only to be dashed against the rocks. The first fool's gold that I want to look at this morning is religion. Religion. Religion won't bring you true and lasting joy. All right? Religion won't bring you true and lasting joy. Maybe a basic definition of religion is just any set of beliefs or practices that a person does or holds in an attempt to gain personal favor with God. In other words, just to sum it up in a word, it's self-righteousness. Religion is self-righteousness. Now, as we look at the scripture, there are many people throughout the scripture who were self-righteous. And let's keep in mind, self-righteousness is not a good thing according to the scripture, okay? There are a lot of people in the scripture who were self-righteous, but perhaps none as much as Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus, he tells us about it. We know him better as the Apostle Paul, okay? But before that glorious Damascus Road experience where he was converted, where Jesus Christ won him, before he was transformed from Saul of Tarsus to the Apostle Paul, before he was converted, he was a self-righteous man, a self-righteous man. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Here's where we're going to see our first fool's gold here. Philippians chapter 3, 4 through 6 is what we'll focus on here for just a moment. And here's where we see his pedigree. We see the religion that he was basing his hopes on. Philippians 3, 4 through 6, he writes this, he testifies to this, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh. Right there, guys, that is the very definition of religion. Confidence in the flesh, okay? So he's saying, I'm about to tell you the religion that I used to live. If anyone has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. In other words, he's saying, man, I was as religious as they come. And he tells us why. His proof of this. He was circumcised the eighth day. That was very religious to do. Of the nation of Israel, God's chosen physical people. Of the tribe of Benjamin, a very prominent tribe. A Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which stands, as to the righteousness which is in the law, he says, found blameless. Man, he had all the religion that a man could have if religion was going to help you. He had crossed all the T's, dotted all the I's. He had a very self-righteous hope. But self-righteousness, religion, is fool's gold. You know, this morning, in a sense, a self-righteous person is in greater danger than the rankest of sinners. A person who thinks they're good enough is in a more dangerous situation. They're further from the grace of God, in a sense, than the person who is the rankest of sinners. Because you can look at the rank sinner's life. You can easily demonstrate from their life that they are far from God. And if they're honest with you, their conscience damns them. You know what I'm saying? If they were just honest and would be just quiet for a moment, their conscience is screaming, you need Jesus. But the self-righteous person, they're confident. They're secure. They believe who they are. And they believe that everything they've got is good enough. Their conscience is soothed. And so if you were to ask Saul of Tarsus, before he became the Apostle Paul, before he was converted, Brother Saul, will you go to heaven when you die? His answer would have most certainly been, absolutely, amen. Right? He'd have been something like that. And when he was pressed to answer why he thought so, he would have said exactly what's said in verse 6 here. Look at verse 6. As to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Man, I ain't a sinner. I'm a saint. I within myself have earned heaven. I have earned heaven. And I want to say there are many who are deceived in this very way. Now, they might not be as religious as Saul was, right? They might not excel in those heights, but they believe that they are religious enough. They believe that they're good enough, that they're righteous enough. If you were to ask maybe the average Joe out in the community who has just an inkling of Christianity, just that residual cultural Christianity, friend, will you go to heaven when you die? And they would say, well, absolutely. Because they can't comprehend God not sending him to heaven. Right? In the mind of your everyday person out here who's just your cultural Christian, hell is just for Hitlers. Hell is just for the rankest, most awful violators and sinners in the world. And when pressed to give an answer why they thought so, they might answer in this way. Because I'm a good person. Or because I was baptized as a child. Or maybe they're actually in church. Maybe they would say, maybe something more like Saul would have said. This is very similar to more like Saul here. I've went to church all my life. I've sang in the choir all my life. I've taught Sunday school and VBS. I've served the Lord. But friend, don't forget what Jesus said. There will be those on the day of judgment, and they say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he says, I never knew you. We did all this for you, Jesus. I never knew you. You see, those people were trusting in themselves. They were checking off the marks of their religion and knew nothing of Jesus. All religion is fool's gold. None of what I said will get you to heaven, right? You might be a good person compared to other people, but you are not as good as God, and that's what's required. You might have been baptized as a baby or a child or even as a teenager or just any other point in your life, but baptism does not save you. And you can be here at church every time the doors are open. Man, you can show up early and you can leave when they turn off the lights, and that does not save you. It will not get you to heaven. All of this religion, all of this self-righteousness is trusting in what you have earned, but you have fool's gold if you're there this morning. And it will never bring true joy, lasting joy. Actually, you know what? I mean, Paul doesn't call it fool's gold here. He calls it a different word. He calls it skubalon. Skubalon in the Greek. Look at Philippians 3, 7 and 8. Look what he says here. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but skubalon, so that I may gain Christ. Skubalon is any refuge, any trash. It may be particularly animal excrement. It's off scourings, it's rubbish, it's dregs, anything worthless or detestable. And that's what Paul understood religion and self-righteousness to be. He basically says, flush it, man. Get rid of it. And friend, I say to you this morning, I say to you, throw away all the religious self-righteousness that is in your being. That's exactly what Paul did. He threw it away and he grabbed hold of Jesus. And that's what he's calling you to do. You see, Paul had been building his resume to heaven. He was going to hand it to God and say, I deserve this, let me in. I'm your man. But he realized that Jesus is the only way to true and everlasting joy. That's why he says, look at verse 8 through 11. Just the last part of 8 there. The last part of 8 going through 11. So that I may gain Christ. He says everything else is rubbish. So that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul basically says here, I don't want my righteousness. It's always going to fall short. It's fool's gold. I want the perfect righteousness that comes from on high, the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way to true and lasting joy, friends. And so I pray this morning that you'll throw away your hopes founded on religion and grab hold of hope founded on Jesus. Everything else is fool's gold. Let's look at the second one this morning. The second fool's gold that I want us to look at is creation. Creation will not bring you true and lasting joy. When I say creation, I mean anything that God has made. Anything that God has made, and then on top of that, anything that we have then taken and then made it into something else. For instance, like this table here, right? I mean, God did not, he made the table, but he actually made the tree, okay? And then we took it and made it a table, okay? So anything that God has made and then man has remade, that's what I'm talking about when I say creation here. So that means people, cars, houses, lands, national parks, money, clothes, music, television, Facebook, basketball, toys. I mean, we could go on and on and on. And it's not that these things are bad. Amen? Nothing I listed there are bad. Nothing there that I listed is bad. The question is, though, will they bring me lasting joy? They'll bring you joy. They will. But not ultimate joy and not lasting joy. Creation cannot do that. But many people live as if it will. If they could just have those things. That's why Jesus instructed us as he did. Turn with me to Matthew 6. And we'll see our second fool's gold here this morning. Matthew chapter 6. We'll look here in the 19th verse. We want to look at that one first. Matthew 6:19. Matthew 6:19. Jesus instructs us. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Now right here, Jesus is primarily talking about possessions, isn't he? Okay, I mean, you can hear that. I mean, you hear moth and you think of clothes. You hear rust and you think of cars or tools or even money. Back in those days, rusted because it wasn't pure. You think of those things. When you hear thieves, you think of money and property and things like that. Do not store up for yourself earthly treasures. When Jesus says that, I think it can be expanded to anything under creation. Do not put your hope in creation. Why? Because they do not last forever. Moth or mice will devour it. Rust or fire or a tornado will destroy it. Thieves might take it. The one that you love and you're placing your hope on might have a car accident and die, or get cancer and die, or have a heart attack and die. And if our ultimate joy is founded on anything in creation, then our joy will be gone when that part of creation is gone. It's fool's gold. Right? It will not bring the joy that you're meant to have. How many of y'all would say they just don't make things like they used to? Right? Yeah, we found that out to be so true. Christmas 2009, this is a good Christmas story here. Christy and I were really excited because Zachariah had been wanting this David sword, King David's sword from Lifeway. And they probably still have them. I mean, it makes sounds and it's big and all these things. It looked really, really cool. All right? He's got to have that. He'll love that. All right? We open it on Christmas Eve. Christmas Day, he goes outside to play with it. The first step out the door, he jumps up and does one of these, wah, and hits the ground and it breaks into two pieces. I mean, just like that quickly done with, right? We just looked at each other like, are you serious? It was like $25 or something like that, you know? And it got broken within 24 hours. But that's what creation does, okay? It's not going to last forever. It can only, that type of joy, that sort of lasting true joy is only found in Jesus. And I want to say to you this morning, maybe you've heard my testimony, but that's one of the points that the Lord so strongly used to save me. Back in 1997, before I met Christy, I had been in a relationship, or what you would call this particular girl, from eighth grade to my junior year. And my hope and joy had been wrapped up in her in a lot of ways. And I know Christy probably didn't want to hear this, but honey, just praise the Lord. He was preparing me for true love, right? A real woman. Well, this my hope had been wrapped up in this girl, and around the beginning of 1997, she dumped me. And hey, that's okay. Praise God, she did. But suddenly, seemingly, my world sort of collapsed. What I was kind of finding my joy and my hope in, all those things collapsed. And I can remember sitting at my great uncle Buddy's funeral, January 29th, 1997, and just weeping like a baby. And I'm sure everybody around me was like, man, he's really broken over Uncle Buddy. I wasn't. I started crying and couldn't quit. I mean, I was just broken in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways. But it was at that point when God really began to draw me. And praise God, you all remember that point when the Holy Spirit began to draw you, began to call you? You probably didn't come at the first moment, but it was a wooing, it was a drawing, and over time, God won you. And that's exactly what happened to me. From that point until the spring, the Lord was drawing me. God was speaking into my heart and my mind, Ben, you cannot put your hope in anything else but me. Everything else will fail you. Ben, trust in me. Hope in me. Find your joy in me. And I want to be honest to you, the day that the Lord saved me, I did not hear an audible voice, but as clearly in my heart and mind as I can discern, God said those very words to me, Ben, you can't put your hope in anything else but me. Everything else will fail you. I mean, it's just as clear as the sky is blue. I remember just seemingly God just speaking that into my heart and into my mind. And that day, the Lord won me. I was driving home. You've heard me say this before. Driving home from spring football practice after school one day in tears. I don't remember exactly what it was, but just it was a rough day. You know, just again, I mean, God had just been working and drawing me. And I pulled up to the four-way stop at Gherkin Crossroads, stopped at the stop sign, went through the other side, and immediately pulled my car over and gave my life to Jesus Christ. Trusted Jesus Christ. Began to place my hope in Jesus Christ, to find my joy in Jesus Christ. And that's what happens. The Lord's words to me are true. And so they're words to you as well. Everything but God will eventually fail you, because the things of this world are not meant to last forever. And so that's why Jesus' words here in Matthew 6:20. Look at the next verse, Matthew 6:20, are of utmost importance to us this morning. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. Find your joy in God and the things of God. Find your ultimate joy in Jesus Christ. This will most certainly, certainly lead to true and everlasting joy. Everything else is fool's gold. And the final one we want to look at this morning, the final fool's gold I want us to see, is sin. Sin won't bring you true and lasting joy. Sin won't bring you true and lasting joy. Oh, it looks like it will, won't it? I mean, let's be honest, right? The glitz and the glamour and the laughter and all of those things look very fun and enticing. It's sort of like the beer commercials on TV, right? You watch one of those and you're left thinking, man, they are having a blast. If I could just get a Bud or a Coors Light or a Natty Light or whatever in my hands, I will be having a great time. But you know, they never show the other side of it, do they? They never show the girl on the floor in front of her toilet, hugging the toilet and puking her guts up. They never show that. They never show the car wrapped around the tree because the drunk driver veered off the road and killed himself. They never show the marriages that are ripped apart. Or the person like my great uncle, who I mentioned a moment ago, who could not eat before drinking a Bud Light in the morning or he would vomit it up. He had to drink first before he ate. They never show you, like Christy and I have seen, a teenager being carried out of a house in a body bag, a 16-year-old, carried out of the house in a body bag. Because he chose to drink the night before, and in the night, he vomited in his sleep and asphyxiated on it. He choked to death on his own vomit. They never show you stuff like that. Because sin always plays up the positives and tries to hide the negatives. Sin deceives us. It's fool's gold. James likens it to a fisherman's bait. Right, that big, plump, juicy worm on the end of that hook. And the fish looks at it and says, oh, I gotta have it. And as soon as he does, death follows. Right? That's what James likens it as. He says this, James 1:14, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. That word enticed here literally means to be taken with a bait. It looks good, but death follows. Okay? And so for this reason, we've got to expose sin for what it is. Turn with me to the last text that'll show this fool's gold here. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. Look at the 20th verse and read down just a few verses. Romans 6, 20 through 23. Romans 6, 20 through 23. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of these things is death. Do you see what Paul's saying there? He's saying that everybody in the world, he's going to say here in a moment, is either a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. And he says, back before you knew Jesus, you were a slave to sin. You did whatever sin said do, okay? He's going to then compare that to the other side. Those who are in Christ, you're no longer a slave to sin. You're now a slave to righteousness. So now you do whatever righteousness says to do. But notice what he says. He says, what benefits were you getting from being a slave to sin? And he says, you know what it was? Death. You got death. Look at it again there, verse 21. 6:21. Therefore, what benefit were you deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, verse 22, you derive your benefit, being free from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he says there, verse 21 and verse 23, very important verses for exposing sin for the fool's gold that it is. He said it brings two things. It brings shame and it brings death. Therefore, what benefit were you deriving then from the things of which you are now ashamed? And I can say there are many things that I've done in my life that I'm absolutely ashamed of. And there are people in the world today who are doing things that they should be ashamed of. But they're not. Pray to God that they one day will be. So that happens. It brings shame, but it also brings death. For the outcome of these things is death. And then we all know Romans 6:23 because we've memorized the Roman road. For the wages of sin is death. I just looked at it. I just finished reading a manuscript this past week for a book called Fallen Pastor. It was written by a pastor that I know who sinned by committing adultery with a woman in his congregation. He eventually, well, she wasn't just in the congregation, she was also his wife's best friend. And he eventually ended up marrying her, his mistress. In fact, if you remember, I reported this to you all back in 2009 because I preached a revival at his church just weeks after this came to light. And after he had resigned. But anyway, he willingly and happily left his wife and the ministry to be with this other woman, and he quickly married her as soon as his divorce was final. And I mean, I don't recommend reading the book. It has serious shortcomings. But one of the things that it does very, very well, and I told him so, I told him the shortcomings too, but I told him that his book does one thing very well, is that it illustrates the absolute heartbreak of sin. The absolute heartbreak that sin brings about. He's got 12 stories in that book, and he could have countless more, I know, of pastors who fell into adultery. He's got 12 different stories. Of men who lost their family, lost their ministry, lost their vocation, lost their integrity, lost their friendships. And it's heartbreaking, absolutely heart-wrenching. But that's what sin does. You see, it often brings joy for a season, but when the short season's over, hell follows on its heels. Shame and death are its consequences. And so, dear ones, this morning, I don't want you to be deceived. I want you to see sin for what it is. It will not bring you true and lasting joy. Just take out the word sin and put in whatever particular one you want. Every one of them leads to the same thing. It is fool's gold. So, what will bring you? What will bring you true and lasting joy? And the answer is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He is the only source of true and lasting joy. And I just want to outline for you 8 reasons why that's so. 8 reasons why that is so. Number one, as we talked about last week, Jesus is the bread of life. He's the bread of life. John 6:35. Says this, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. 2, Jesus is the light of the world. John 8:12 says this, then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Number three, Jesus is the gate. John 10:9. Jesus is the gate. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he'll be saved and will go on in and out and find pasture. As we talked about last week, number four, one, two, three, four. Yes, number four. As we talked about last week, Jesus is the good shepherd. John 10:11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Number five, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. John 11:25-26. John 11:25-26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Number six, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Number seven, Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the vine. John 15:5. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And then number eight, finally this morning, why is Jesus and Jesus alone the only source for true and lasting joy? Number eight, Jesus is God in the flesh, born to save you and me from our sins. Praise God. Praise God. There's no sin too big that Jesus Christ cannot save us from. An angel told Joseph, who was engaged to Jesus' mother, the Virgin Mary. We read what the angel says to Joseph in Matthew 1:20-23. Matthew 1:20-23. But when he had considered, that's Joseph, when Joseph had considered these things, in other words, when Joseph had considered breaking off their engagement, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child has been conceived in her, is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Jesus Christ is the only hope you have for true and lasting joy, because Jesus is the only way to be saved from your sins. All those other things, all those other seven ones point to this very one, that he is the only way for you to be forgiven. Friends, this Christmas, may you fix your eyes on Jesus so that you'll have what your heart most needs and what your heart will be most thrilled with. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray that this morning you would. He is ready and willing if you'll only turn and humble yourself before him and call on the name of the Lord. He says that he will save you no matter what you've done. He will save you from your sin if you will turn, take up your cross, and follow him. You'll love Jesus. I pray this morning you would. Here's my prayer for us all. May you live for Jesus and love Jesus for the sake of joy.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.